really all about. And joining me here in the studio is Mayor Mickey Straub from Burr Ridge, who's the author of 50 Capitals in 50 States, Big Goals, Short Deadlines. And Mayor Straub, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, thank you, Rick, for the invitation, and I'm so glad that we have some mutual friends and Jim Webb and Tom Serafin, and it's just an honor to be here. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. And you know, here is in things people don't know, here you are, the first person ever to recite the Gettysburg Address in all 50 capitals of the United States. And I mean, where did you kind of come up with this idea? You did this in 2012.
Yes, sir. It was, well, the idea originally of going to all 50 capitals, I actually came to me about 10 years earlier when I was counting up the number of capitals that my wife, daughter, and I had visited. I thought, wouldn't it be neat to take my daughter to all 50 capitals? But she became a teenager, and that dog wasn't going to hunt.
Yeah, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Absolutely. And then 3 years before, I thought of the idea of 50 capitals in 50 days, because I like big goals and short deadlines, and I think it's especially motivational and inspirational. And but then the idea really came up to do it, about 3 months before I started training for it, and about three weeks before I actually committed to doing it.
And I mean, what is it about the Gettysburg Address that is so special to you, and why people should appreciate it more?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. I'm sorry I should have answered that first, because the Gettysburg Address, I think, is just one of the most amazing speeches and documents that's ever been produced and recited. It was Abraham Lincoln unified us in a time of our greatest peril. And I have to figure the Gettysburg Address, a lot of it has to do with the Gettysburg Address, that because of his message and how it was repeated and memorized by school children for years. And that's why I've always had an affinity for it. But the idea of actually reciting it at each capital, that idea actually came from a gentleman named John Morris out at Eureka College. We were trying to think of, what can I do that would be at each capital? You know, some people might do push-ups or there's
right.
Some guy did like a goofy dance. Well, it was something that was significant and relevant to kind of the trip, which was done all in the spirit of Abraham Lincoln. And so we thought, you know, let's recite the Gettysburg Address.
And what's always amazing to me about this is that, you know, we're talking about when Lincoln delivered this. And of course, this is after the Battle of Gettysburg and basically commemorating this as a national cemetery out there, but that it wasn't talking about divisions, you know, that existed at that time in the Civil War, but that also this is a time when oratory was, people would talk for hours. I mean, that was television, that was radio, that was what media was, were these public events. And here in these brief words, he sums up everything so eloquently. I mean, people could have missed it who were actually there. I mean, I think they were expecting some long, great oration.
Yes, they were, as was the case with the person that preceded him. That was actually the keynote speaker, Mr. Edward Everett, who was from Harvard. He was a former legislator.
And was noted for his oratory skills.
He spoke for probably 2.5 hours.
Right. But then here's the president. And, I mean, it's just so overwhelming, I think, the Gettysburg Address and what it means.
Yes, absolutely. But here's another thing that was really amazing, and how coincidental it is that you invited me to talk on your show today. Because, number one, this is actually the 240th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
1776, 240 years. Now, normally people go by 200 and 250, but 240, I think, is rather significant.
I know. I was thinking of that, too, that we're coming up to 250 years of this country.
Yes. But in addition to that, there's a tremendous connection between July 4th and the Gettysburg Address. And
okay.
I see the perplexed look on your face.
Okay.
And but think of this. When Abraham Lincoln said 70 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated the proposition that all men are created equal. What time frame, what date was he referring to?
Well, he was referring to July 4th.
July 4th, Declaration of Independence. So there's a deep connection between the Gettysburg Address and Fourth of July, and so significant, and why I'm especially thankful that you invited me.
When you decided to make this trip, and I mean, obviously there is a bit of planning to it, and of course, ironically enough, you got a Lincoln to drive for this, of course, and started off in Gettysburg. But did you really have any idea about just the immense physicality of having to go to crisscross the country?
No, I totally underestimated that. And so much of it was unplanned, and I felt like, as so many people said, that God has hands on this, because I didn't plan it. It just kind of happened. I did plan a little bit ahead of time, obviously, to get about two-thirds of the trip pre-planned. But when I originally left, I thought about maybe shipping the car or having somebody drive, you know, between states. But I had no idea how difficult it would be physically. But as my wife said, I wasn't no longer a spring chicken. So I needed to get in shape for it. But still, I totally underestimated the amount of driving and the lack of sleep, of 5 to 6 hours a night sleep. And driving 7 to 8 hours a day.
Well, and you started out, as I said, leaving Gettysburg, and then you find out that a lot of these East Coast capital are closed on the weekends.
Well, actually, that was we did the research ahead of time, so we knew only 24 capitals are open on weekends, and none of them, coincidentally, on the East Coast are open on weekends. But the good news was I was born and raised in Pennsylvania. And so I kind of knew the territory of the East Coast, but I was never up in Albany or Montpelier, Vermont, or even up to Maine. But I knew they were close together. And my goal was to be in every capital for 2 hours. So I wasn't just, I was just walking, driving right into the city, and then driving
away.
Well,
because you wanted to meet with people and meet with officials, and, you know, this wasn't just done as a cosmetic kind of stunt.
No, actually it was, but I knew it took me 2 hours to get what I needed. I was kind of like a little bit of a treasure hunt. Before I left, I actually practiced in four capitals, in Utah, Massachusetts, Illinois, and Indiana. And I knew that it took me about 2 hours to be on every floor, every wing, every house and Senate chamber, looking for these specific pictures that I was looking to take pictures of. And then to account for meeting the wonderful people that I met, who I call capital angels, that just kind of saved me along the way. And guided me and steered me in the right direction. But I was looking for any reference to God or Lincoln. And I had to liberate later because I couldn't find Lincoln south of New Jersey.
And we're going to talk a little bit about trying to find Lincoln in some of these southern states. We're speaking with Mickey Straub. He's the mayor of Burr Ridge, author of 50 Capitals in 50 States, Big Goals, Short Deadlines. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Wake up on